Grace and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this morning's meditation and application to our daily faith life is found recorded in the Old Testament book of Deuteronomy, chapter 30, verses 9 to 14. The Lord your God will make you abound in all the work of your hand, in the fruit of your body, in the increase of your livestock, in the produce of your land for good. The Lord will again rejoice over you for good, as he rejoiced over your fathers. If you obey the voice of the Lord your God, to keep his commandments and his statutes, which are written in this book of the law, and if you turn to the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul. For this commandment which I command you today is not too mysterious for you. It's not far off. It is not in heaven that you should say, who will ascend into heaven for us and bring it to us, that we may hear it and do it? Nor is it beyond the sea that you should say, who will go over the sea for us and bring it to us, that we may hear it and do it? But the Lord is very near you, in your mouth and in your heart, that you may do it. In Christ Jesus, who has revealed God's love to mankind, both with his person and in his word, to your fellow redeemed. This past week, I met with an elderly couple that attends our Bible class at the Heritage Home, where Duane lives. They asked me to come visit with them in their upstairs apartment. When I visited with them, they told me that they were Methodists. They've been Methodists since they were little children. But they're very sad that the Methodist Church is so involved in the social gospel, that is, teaching what we do for Jesus rather than what Jesus has done for us. They've also been saddened by the immoral stand that the Methodist Church has taken concerning abortion and homosexuality. They said, all we want to do is hear the word, only the word. That was very refreshing. And so I invited them to come and hear what we have to say concerning the word of God in our church. They replied by saying, well, they did find one conservative Methodist church here in Madison that has a pretty conservative pastor, but they think about it. So who knows? But the question needs to be asked, do we need more than just the word in our preaching and in our teaching? The world would say, absolutely. I mean, you've got your psychics, you've got your horoscopes, you've got your New Age spiritists, your Eastern religions, and all the other religions of the world with their truths. You've got your humanistic philosophies, you've got your psychiatrists, your evolutionist scientists who come up with new things all the time, new truths that help explain where we came from and how we got here. Yeah, the world says you definitely need more than just the Bible. And unfortunately, even people within the church say, yeah, you need more than just the Bible. You need to explain it with your reason, with your intellect, with your understanding. And you need to also teach it and apply it with our enlightened social conscience of diversity. But God answers that question, do we need more than just the Bible, by saying, nonsense. My word is all you need. In our text this morning, we hear the last words of the prophet Moses. He's speaking to that new generation of Israelites who lived during the last part of the 40 years of wandering, whose parents and grandparents died in the wandering of the wilderness. He's about to die and hand over his leadership to Joshua, whom God had chosen. And so he wants to remind them, first of all, about the past. They weren't there when God gave them that covenant on Mount Sinai in the two tablets of stone. Many of them weren't there when they crossed the Red Sea into the Promised Land and were set free from slavery. He reminded them how God protected them and provided for them every day with manna and quail, and their sandals never wore out for 40 years. And then he repeated the covenant to them. He said to them these words, "Keep the words of this covenant and do them, that you may prosper in all that you do." And he reminded them of the victory that God gave them over King Sion and King Og, and said, "The Lord will be with you." And then after he looks back upon the past, Moses now looks to the future, and he says to them, "God extends to you blessings beyond your wildest dreams if you remain faithful to him in his grace and relationship with the Lord and the Messiah." But he warns them, if you fall away from the Lord, if you are wayward, you turn away from the Jehovah, you will bring down curses upon your head. Our theme this morning are some of the words of Moses in our text this morning. The Lord rejoices over you. Our first point, he desires that you cling to his word. We read the first two verses of our sermon text. "The Lord your God will make you abound in all the work of your hand, in the fruit of your body, in the increase of your livestock, and in the produce of your land for good. For the Lord will again rejoice over you for good, as he rejoiced over your fathers, if you obey the voice of the Lord your God, to keep his commandments and his statutes, which are written in this book of the law, and if you turn to the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul." Through the words of his covenant, the Lord clearly revealed his will for his people. And he clearly said to them, these are the words I want you to believe and obey and keep. We must be careful not to make the actions of God's people the cause of God's blessings, so the gospels then turn into a law. In other words, a work that's rewarded. God certainly does promise a warehouse of blessings to the faithful. But it's not because of your faithfulness that you receive that warehouse of blessings. It's God's grace, his undeserved love, that showers those blessings upon us. Blessings both physically as well as spiritually, both temporal as well as eternal. It's surely not because God's people deserve them. The source of all these blessings is God. And the ability for the people to be obedient to the Lord is also finds its source in God. In this speech that Moses gave to the people of Israel before he died, he says in verse 6, just prior to our text, "And the Lord your God will circumcise your heart and the heart of your descendants to love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, that you may live." Circumcising the heart means he's cutting away the sins from your heart. He's going to lead you to repent of your sins and trust in the coming Messiah. That they couldn't do. That you can't do. That I can't do. That's only done by the Word and the power of the Holy Spirit in each of our lives. That's why the Lord says he desires that we cling to his Word. Without the word of God in your heart, you nor I will be able to confess our sins and repent. Without the word of God in your heart, you will not be able to believe in Jesus. Without the word of God in your heart, you will not be saved. God tells us these words that he responds to our turning to him. So he turns to us. He turns to us and rejoices over us. Just like we're told in the Bible that the angels rejoice over one sinner who repents. Yes, the Lord promises untold blessings to his faithful children. Blessings beyond our wildest dreams to the faithful, to the obedient. But the motivation to obey is not that we can earn these blessings, get recompensed for what we've done, services rendered. The motivation is God's grace that's found in Christ Jesus for us to thankfully, willingly love, serve, and obey him in return. All we merely do as children of God is stand there and let God shower those blessings upon us. Will there be greater many? Will those blessings be physically good for us or even physically bad? And that's why the Lord says, cling to my word. But do we even have the ability to do that? That leads us to the second point. He's planted his word in our hearts. We read the last verses of our text, 11 to 14. For this commandment which I command you today, it is not too mysterious for you, nor is it far off. It is not in heaven that you should say, who will ascend into heaven for us and bring it to us, that we may hear it and do it? Nor is it beyond the sea that we should say, who will go over the sea for us and bring it to us, that we may hear it and do it? But the word is very near you, in your mouth, in your heart, that you may do it. In the last verse of the previous chapter, Moses says this to the Israelites, the secret things belong to the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. Moses, through inspiration of the Holy Spirit, wrote down every single word the Spirit wanted him to record for the people. And that word, we're told, was impressed upon the hearts of God's people. Through the word that's either spoken and heard or read, the Lord gets into the hearts of his people and reveals his truths, his blessings, his salvation, his redemption through the Messiah. The Lord works through the word and through the power of the Holy Spirit to work repentance in our heart. The Lord works through the word and the power of the Spirit to work faith in all that Jesus has done for us in our heart. And the Lord works through the word and Spirit to produce fruits of faith. That is, works that we do out of faith for Jesus. Moses truly understood the human heart. That is, the sinful human heart, which always tries to find a way to God and a way to eternity apart from God's way. The human way always is the way of the law. I must do something for God. I must earn God's love by being obedient to him. I must earn his grace and his mercies and his pleasures by being obedient, by doing something and being acceptable before God. But Moses in God's word very clearly tells us to understand and believe that our relationship with the Lord is not based on what we do, but based upon what God has done for us. And so he says, are you going to go up into the sky and try and see it in the universe? You going to go across the sea and see it there? How about some tropical islands? No. Where is the word? It's very near you. It's the word I've been speaking to you. It's the word that you've been speaking in your mouth. It's the word that's found in your very heart. The Holy Spirit has given to us in his word everything that we need. Many years later, the Apostle Paul, in his letter to the Romans, quotes these very same words, but adds a few other words of comment in Romans 10, verses 6 through 8. He writes, but the righteousness of faith speaks in this way. Do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven? That is, to bring Christ down from above. Or who will descend into the abyss? That is, to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you, even in your mouth and in your heart. That is, the word of faith which we preach. God provides for you and me righteousness, joy, peace, forgiveness, everlasting life, heaven, all through his son Jesus. And that's revealed to us in his word. The good news that we were declared right with God by grace alone through faith in Jesus Christ wasn't some distant secret message. Moses is saying, it's right here in the word that I've been writing. And Paul says, it's right here in the word that I've been writing. It's in the Bible. God didn't keep it a secret, didn't keep it hidden from all of us. It's all around us. And when we hear it, and when we read it, and when we study it, it's right here in our hearts. But, the Lord says, abandoning that word means you've abandoned the Lord Jesus, who came down from heaven to live that perfect life, to die that atoning sacrifice, to rise victoriously from the grave, and to ascend into heaven. God's word clearly tells us that our salvation is complete. It's already done. The word of God announces, God gives grace to us, salvation to us. We cannot, and we do not, earn it. It's a free gift. And so to summarize, Moses closes out his life of service to the Lord, knowing that he no longer will be their leader. He no longer will be the minister, but God's word will continue to serve them, to lead them to hear his word, to apply it to their hearts, to fill their heart with love for him. And so he says to his people, remain in the word by clinging to that word. Moses is here presenting God the Father, much like Jesus presented the Father in the parable of the prodigal son. Remember that? The son who rebelled against his father, asked for his inheritance, and then left and wasted it all. Every day that father was looking down the road, longing for his son, daily. When he saw him coming, he ran out to him, gave him a big hug, threw his coat on him, gave him his family ring, and said, welcome home, son. Moses is saying, the Father rejoices over you. Rejoices over you, wayward, repentant sons and daughters. The Lord rejoices over us and always stands ready to receive us, repentant sinners. No matter how far away we wander, no matter how far away we stray from God and his word, the return back to God is a short trip. A short trip through his word. Because in his word that our Savior puts his loving arms around us in an embrace, and gives to us forgiveness, life, salvation, and empowers us to be able to remain faithful and obedient to his word. So, may that be our joy, ever and always, to cling to that word that has been planted in our hearts. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your hearts and minds centered in our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.